she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around.
Io's house
in the middle of our street.
Io's house
in the middle of our...
Io's house, post-game Buffalo Sabres, 4-3 loss. Ethan, Jack, Rocco here with you. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Jack at Io's Den. Follow Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes, Spotify. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube. All socials for that matter, at Isle's House on Twitter, we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram. We are sponsored by the fine folks at Rust and Gold. Check them out in Huntington. Great food, great drinks, great atmosphere. I'm rocking the Casa hat. Rocco is rocking a
Clean Hit,
who makes our merch. You get half credit. Jack gets zero credit. He's not wearing any merch. Check out that QR code if you want to support us. Also check out our Patreon below. I got to change the ticker. I'm sure I'll do that after the intro. Patreon.com/Isle's House. Join the Discord, join the greatest Islanders community online. Jack, take us away.
Yep. So since our last podcast, the Islanders have played a lot of games, and it's been much of a roller coaster. So they host the Dallas Stars after losing a stinker to Chicago, and they recover, winning 2-1. Then they host the AHL Panthers and win 5-2. Somehow those same Panthers help us out on the scoreboard tonight. And then they came back and suffered what I think was probably the most embarrassing loss of the season. You're at home against a divisional opponent that you are literally fighting with for a playoff spot. You have a 3-1 lead in the second period, and then you give up an unanswered touchdown. So that brings us to tonight, where I think that it was going to be a big challenge from the start, and a lot of this season really doesn't make sense, and they've been able to get themselves up and bounce back for these big games. And it wasn't perfect, but honestly, they hadn't given up a 5-on-5 goal through the first 50 minutes of the game. They gave themselves a chance. They found the net when they had to, until with 5 minutes to go, puck is in the air, and Carson Soucy, who already took two penalties that had led to power play goals, attempts to bat the puck out of midair instead of just simply grabbing it down and playing it. And Horvat and him chase Alex Tuck behind the net. Schaefer and Horvat look to have a miscommunication. And I don't even remember who buried the goal, because I was transparently just so pissed off when Krebs. I watched it. Krebs buries one, and it's 3-2. Just not a game that they can lose in regulation. And they got extremely lucky that this wasn't a much worse situation for them in the standings, but just can't not get a point there. And it's been twice now in the last few weeks where they've been a few minutes, sometimes even a few seconds away from just earning 1 point, and they haven't been able to close it out. Just brutal. I mean, coming off of last night, like, just getting a point here and probably going to overtime, you probably win the game in overtime considering the freaking record. It just could have been a massive morale boost going into now, like, a 3-day break where now we all have to scoreboard watch a lot. I'm getting sick of watching the Blue Jackets, getting sick of watching the Red Wings, the Senators. I don't know about you guys, but
yeah,
tough result tonight.
Because it could all be in front of us if we just played well. And that's my issue right now with this team, is you look back at the last handful of games, like you mentioned it. I mean, further back than our last pod, but game against Ottawa, you can't get it to overtime, lose a point. More recent game against Chicago, you just come out so flat. Probably should have started Sorokin. Rittich didn't look great. Bad loss. I was in the building last night for that atrocious second period where we actually took a 2-0 lead, then a 3-1 lead. You give up a shorthanded goal that changes the whole game and end up losing. I think the final was, what, 8-3? So, and then tonight, you come to tonight, 2-2 with how much time was left when Buffalo scored? 3 minutes, a little over three?
Five,
whatever it was. Still, close enough game towards the end where you have to get a point in this situation. And that's why a team like Buffalo is good, is because they don't sit back. They go for that extra point. They're going for the win in that situation, where maybe the Islanders were kind of sitting back playing for a tie at that point. But it's just frustrating, because I know a lot of people like to point to, well, the expectations were this. as we said on the last pod, expectations change. And when these games are right in front of you and points are available and you just drop them, it's very hard. It's a tough pill to swallow. And as Jack said, like every game now, we're scoreboard watching, where if we just picked up a couple points in these games, which were very attainable, we wouldn't really have to pay that close of attention. We would just be paying attention as far as where we are in the standings, not if we're going to make the playoffs or not. And that's my problem with this team right now. You went out, you got vets. It was supposed to be, you know, you're making the playoffs, and they're just making it so hard on themselves. And I do feel like they only have themselves to blame.
Absolutely.
It's not like they're, you know, going up against the juggernauts of the league every night. I mean, you lose to Chicago, who's literally probably would rather get a top three pick than win games right now. You lose tonight to Buffalo, like we said. You had so many chances, and they're just not really playing well. Like even last night against Pittsburgh, you just look up and you're like, what the fuck just happened? I mean, it was in a matter of minutes. It just went from 3-1 to 5-3. I had to stop and say, wasn't it 0-0 at the beginning of this period?
Crazy.
It was insane. That was one of the most insane periods of hockey I've ever watched in person. And it says a lot about the team. Like, I just feel like they take their foot off the gas at times.
Yeah.
Well, in order to take your foot off the gas, your foot has to be on the gas to begin with. And half of these games, they're just total no-shows. You know, I'm fed up. I really am with this team. Like Rocco, you said, and we discussed a week or two ago, you have expectations and expectations change. And they changed for this team a long time ago. This is not like, you know, they took house money up until the final 2-3 weeks of the season. This was mid-season. Like, okay, like they're firmly in a playoff spot. We're going to go out and we're going to try to make this team better. And I think pretty much every single acquisition somehow made this team worse. Carson Soucy, responsible for what? Three goals against tonight has been an absolute pylon, to the extent that when it happened, and I've mentioned this on the podcast in Ryan and Greg's Discord, I was getting clowned on because they call him Saddam Soucy. I mean, he makes Scott Mayfield look like Matthew Schaefer. The skating is atrocious. The guy is a pylon out there. He can't do anything. It's bad. Andre Palat, congratulations on your 900 games. That should be it. You shouldn't be playing anymore. I have no idea what they're doing. And Braden Schenn, for all the points that he's been putting up, been playing with Matt Barzal. Matt Barzal was outchanced 10-1 tonight.
I actually think Schenn's been playing well, but again, it's not just the Schenn trade itself, it's the philosophy behind that trade.
Correct.
Where now you're going into win now mode. Now you're giving up picks. Like, we all agree. If we were in this position now and you're kind of dropping games, but we have boatloads of picks headed into this upcoming draft, we'd be like, whatever, house money. We hope we make it.
Yeah,
if we don't, we have a really bright future. We still have a really bright future. We have one of, if not the best young player in the league. It's just about finding ways in the near and distant future to build around.
That's fine. And you know what? It's not just the acquisitions. It's also the veterans that are on this team. Like Anders Lee, besides putting in just the most bizarre goals of all time, has been awful.
He did have a great game.
I'm talking about the last few.
Yeah.
And like JG Pageot has not been good.
No.
He's been awful. He's been awful.
Like the bottom six has been completely ineffective. And it's just frustrating to watch. I mean, the fact that this game was even tied with 5 minutes to go is nothing short of a miracle. These guys could not generate anything in the neutral or the offensive zone. I mean, Ilya Sorokin once again kept them in the game. It's just a very, very frustrating team to watch. They've given us great moments. But when your entire success is dependent on, realistically, two players, Ilya Sorokin and Matthew Schaefer, I mean, you look at the expected goals for and against with him on and off the ice, it's no wonder Patrick Waugh is playing him 25, 26, 30 minutes a game. Like, he is the reason that this engine is running. And it's not a sign of a good team. It's just not. And before I keep going on the negatives, there is one player that I feel like deserves a shout out. And, you know, he gets like some praise here and there, but I feel like he deserves even more of it. And it's Cal Ritchie. I compared Cal Ritchie a couple months ago, I think at this point. I just love the way that he can work in tight spaces, behind the goal line, close to the net, how he's really good in those tight spaces. I compared him to like an offensive guard. You know, they talk about guys who are really good. He's really good in a phone booth, right, in those tight spaces. I realize that that comparison is inaccurate. The comparison that I would like to make for Cal Ritchie, and I mean this is the highest compliment, Cal Ritchie is the 50-year-old at the Y who's cooking the 25-year-olds on the basketball court. Cal Ritchie is underneath the net. He's catching passes. He's throwing passes behind his neck. He's wheeling and dealing. You look 1 second, he's there. You turn around, half a second later, he's gone. This guy has just the cerebral aspect of his game has come such a long way because he's not the fastest. He doesn't have the best shot, but he is constantly making things happen, especially on the power play. He's the 50-year-old at the Y. He's the guy that like people overlook, and you're just like, holy shit, like this guy's got, you know, 15, 10, and 10 at the half. That's Cal Ritchie.
I can't believe you just compared Cal Ritchie to Adam Sandler.
Dude, Sandler can ball.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And those weird out, he's the guy in the weird outfits, like the Ed Norm from 20 years ago.
Exactly. Butter me up. I'm on a roll with the long ass shorts below the knee. That's him.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic, though, that it's the 20-year-old that literally is on a 5-game point streak in the most important time of year, and nonetheless, you're just always told about how adding veterans to the team is super important. Like, there's a stat that I read last year, and I need to look up the source of it, and I need to rewatch it just so I can share the information. But it was about how there's this huge misconception around the NHL. Like, the forwards in there, the age group of forwards that are carrying your team or the supporting cast, even those guys are usually in their 20s and not their 30s. And it's like a really crazy stat that actually shows that it's like there's like barely any teams that have won.
Like Owen Wilson right now.
Wow. It's like the Drake meme. They're like,
well, what
yeah, the computer. Yeah, him and Yachty with the computer.
What I'm saying is like the always like wanting to add like the vets, it's actually not really the blueprint. The blueprint is always mid 20s, and it's just ironic because
Jack, who are the biggest contributors to the team the last, I don't know, you can do the whole season, but if you want to go from the halfway point, it's Matthew Schaefer at 17 years and 17 months old. It's Cal Ritchie, who's 20. It's Simon Holmstrom, who's 24. You want to throw Ilya Sorokin and Barzal in there, 30 and 28?
Yeah, 28. Yeah, okay. still in that age range that I'm talking about, definitely. Is Horvat 30?
29 or 30, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can throw him in there too. It's all of those guys. And
here's the thing. I feel like, and again, I don't want to keep dwelling. It's not like the individual player. It's just the thought process behind the acquisitions. Like, I feel like each acquisition we made were made for better teams. Like if the Colorado Avalanche get Susie or get Shen or things like that, you're like, yeah, final piece type stuff. Get that veteran in there, whatever. Like we're not that close yet. So we're acquiring these guys, in my opinion, that are like put the Tampa Bay over the top, put the Minnesota Wild over the top. And we're clearly a couple notches below those teams.
Well, it's because the Colorado Avalanche are led in points by a 30-year-old with 120 points, a 27-year-old with 92 points, a 27-year-old D with 75 points, Brock Nelson with 33 goals. I mean, like, there are two.
Already had more than that.
They're 34, and Gabriel Landeskog at 33.
I'm not – who's Scooter, I'm not saying they are going to trade for Susie. I'm saying they're the type of team that it would actually make sense just as a final piece to round out your team.
Just something more on Susie. The last goal tonight, he took the first two penalties that led to power play goals, and the game winner is obviously he's on the ice for it with Schaefer. The puck comes to him. He tries to bat it. The guy takes it around, and Schaefer and Horvat have a miscommunication. My biggest issue with the goal isn't like that he's on the ice. It's that he's the veteran on the ice next to an 18-year-old with 5 minutes left in the game. Just grab the puck down and clear it. Do not try to do
anything. They had issues with that all game. They could not get the puck deep.
But like putting Schaefer in that position was just, it did not need to happen. And these are reasons why that I prefer Schaefer playing with Mayfield or Pulock, because Susie is just, what the hell are those two doing out on the ice together, man? Terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah. I said it on the, like, out of the acquisitions too, I think I might have said it on the Patreon episode we did, Jack. No one's happier about the Shen trade than Palat, because Palat has been in, like, not invisible. He's been more bad than invisible.
Well, he started to show himself a little more.
Can we dig a little deeper into this lineup right now? Because I feel like we constantly talk about the acquisitions that are passengers. I'm sorry, but can we take Kyle McLean out of the lineup for a couple nights?
Well,
like, tonight he has not been great.
Play
Duclair. Like, when Holmstrom comes back, play
Duclair. Duclair was awful tonight.
I know, but you know what? At least Duclair, maybe you're going to get a goal out of him every now and then. McLean's just like, quote unquote, plays good defense and then just takes a couple penalties each game, it feels like.
Pretty much.
I'd rather someone with a little bit of pop in their game.
It felt like Waj's strategy tonight was to put that line out there because they don't lose their minutes. So, like, he was just trying to keep the team in the game.
Can we get some stats to back that up?
We need to do like a Batman meme with the Data Dom instead of Batman.
Yeah.
We need the stats.
But you can't – they really can't score unless they're playing the Panthers with an AHL team and a backup goalie. They haven't scored much at all. And honestly, I think more people need to listen to these post games to gain an understanding of what the coach sees in these guys and how he feels, because those guys are not coming out. He loves these players, man. Like, they're not coming out of the lineup, I don't think.
Wow. French Zekas.
Yeah, it's something I wanted to discuss. So once again, like, people in my comments,
can I just read out a Susie line real quick?
Yeah.
Susie's now -9, was brought here to eat Schaefer's PK minutes, and has accrued 14 penalty minutes in 23 games compared to 18 penalty minutes in 46 games with the Rangers, where he was also a +4. So
can we all admit that we would much rather have a healthy Romanov in this lineup? As much shit as we gave Romanov.
Over Susie, sure.
Yeah, over anyone on the bottom pair, like, bottom pair wise.
No.
Who would you rather out of who? What 6D would you rather play ahead of Romanov?
I would play Boqvist over
Romanov. Don't say Boqvist.
No,
bro.
Stop.
You're out of your bird, man.
I think you guys are forgetting how awful he was before he got hurt.
I think you don't watch Boqvist enough.
I watch Boqvist too much.
Boqvist, honestly, the last few games has been a little bit better, but still, it's just
Boqvist is not the type of guy that could play 20 games in a row. He needs, like, yeah, he could sprinkle in a couple games here and there and be okay, but you got to. And also, Boqvist is right-handed, so it's not even really a realistic.
He was playing on the third line right wing last year at one point, man. This guy is not.
Let's also talk about, since Tony has been gone.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier.
We miss fucking Tony, man.
We knew he would too.
Great before he went down.
Yeah, yeah. This team really relies on certain guys, and they're definitely missing his skill set.
This is Mike. It's not what we know. It's what we were told about the team's mindset behind the acquisition of Susie. So that was their thinking when acquiring Susie, was he was going to kill penalties and take some of the pressure off Schaefer. Whether George can't or can, we don't know, but that's what we were told as far as why the Susie acquisition happened.
Kind of wanted
to be their Romanov replacement, I guess.
I have like a mini topic I want to bring up with you guys. So people in my comment section tonight were just blasting Wah for not making these lineup changes. Why the hell is Palat still playing? Why does Susie play every night? And I'm just thinking that, like, it frustrates the hell out of me too. But are we sure that it's just Wah making the lineup and that there aren't discussions going on behind the scenes about these ads? Like, what do you guys think of that?
You're not giving up a third rounder for Susie and then benching him.
Like, I'm sure there's some sort of conversation, but I mean, listen, as far as the lineup, I'm going to quote one of my old high school lacrosse coaches when he moved from schools, and I asked him how it was going, and he looked me in the face and said, well, you can't move the town lines, basically saying, like, you can only work with the talent you have. Wah can only work with the talent he has. Like, I don't know what people expect out of him sometimes. He can't just change the roster and add players and swap players out that just for fun and say, oh, we got better. He only has the talent that's in front of him. And let's be honest, Ethan mentioned it before. This is a team that depends on Sorokin to be Superman way too often. I thought last night against Pittsburgh, as I'm sitting there watching the game, I'm saying this is the issue. We're giving up all these chances and we're just praying Sorokin makes a save.
I
Superman almost every night. There are very few games where I say, wow, they played really well defensively tonight. I mean, I think the Dallas game, they played well. But that's also a Dallas team that had the cowardly Mikko Rantanen now. So they weren't even at full strength. But there's – I mean, name games, guys. Do you remember games where you watched a whole 60 minutes and you said, wow, that was a great defensive effort?
No. They've had a few great ones, but that's it. Like, it's usually
rare. It's a handful. It's rare.
No, it's not even a handful. I said a few. There's been like two or three.
Jack, how much are you going to fit in your hand?
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
Jack's got bigger hands than you.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Last night in the first period, it ends scoreless. And, you know, the consensus probably feels like, yeah, we didn't give up that much. Like, no, we gave up a lot. And Sorokin was pretty freaking good in that first period. There were slots coming in from the shot off the crossbar. And it's like, we were lucky to get out of that 0-0. I just can't believe the way that period unraveled, man. Like, Mantha coming in on, like, what, two breakaways. Just that was as ugly as it gets. The shorthanded goal was so ugly. And that was not even – that was a two-on-one where Heinemann misses his assignment. There's a lot of things that could be coached better, I will say. But at the same time, like, you can only work with what you have. So wouldn't exactly – say that this is like the most talented Islanders roster I've seen top to bottom. So as far as WA goes, I mean, I feel like at this point, given that the team is now a projected point total of 95, no longer 96, 100, like these teams have, these teams that are still in this playoff hunt that haven't pulled away are starting to show their flaws a little bit. Like the Bruins, the Penguins, those teams are legit. They're going to the playoffs. Like now the last, like, two spots are between the Islanders, the Blue Jackets, the Flyers, and the Red Wings, and now even the Capitals, who have somehow climbed from the dead here just because you let them back in. And like, this is really the appropriate range of this team. And that's not being negative, it's being realistic. Like, they are not the Penguins. The Penguins, they lost to twice this season. The only time they beat them was Stuart Skinner had a complete awful game. They won in overtime.
As he does.
The Bruins swept the Islanders this season. Like, these teams are just a little bit better, and there's nothing wrong with it. Just
too, Jack, because the Penguins went a significant amount of time without Crosby, significant amount of time without Malkin, and they find a way. Could you imagine if one of our top two players went down for that amount of time? We would not make it.
No, I saw
they might not win a game.
Yeah, I saw everyone talking about how Crosby and Malkin went down, but like these people are not watching these other teams like Chinnikov, Mantha, Rust, Raquel, everybody.
That's their pro. We talked about it a couple episodes ago. That's their pro scouting. Anyone could have had Chinnikov. Anyone could have had Mantha. They picked them up. We picked up Drouin.
Brazo. Like,
that's the difference. their pro scouting did a really good job this season.
Here's so something that.
Did Mantha sign a one-year deal?
One-year deal. And yeah, so did Brazo.
Great deal.
And they drafted Kindle. Seriously, like, you got to
–
I know it's almost nauseating to say, but you got to give Dubas some credit. Like, what he has done in the last year is insane. I just want to point out, like, when I'm upset about these moves, it's not that I want Darsh to be fired. It's nothing like that. I just want this guy to simply learn from his mistakes this season, because Jonathan Drouin is now a healthy scratch regularly.
Jack, what did we talk about?
Hold on. Let me finish, because we have Drouin, who's a healthy scratch for the St. Louis Blues. This guy lived in our top six for like 5 months, and you were getting gaslit if you were to call the guy a bad player. Next thing, we trade for Palat. We don't only just throw him in the lineup every day. He actually played with Barzal and Horvat for a long time. Those are two players that seriously may never get another contract in the NHL. These are massive concerns. And Soucy, I don't know. He'll probably get a one-year deal. He might literally get a PTO. So it's not all bad. You know, you have Heinemann. Riddick gave you some good starts early in the year. The point is, I just hope that he learns from some of these moves, because it's been rough and it's been Heinemann. That's all I got.
Neither of you will probably remember what I said on the podcast when the Darsh signing was made official. My number one fear was hiring a GM with no prior experience and no solidified evidence of what he did in Tampa Bay going into what was probably the most consequential Islanders offseason in a long time. Between first overall pick and the Noah Dobson situation, right? Back then, it was just those two things. I don't think anyone here, maybe you, Jack, had illusions of fighting for a playoff spot and Matthew Schaefer being generational this quickly. But the inexperience has reared its head time and time again. And I'm looking at Data Dom. He posted his numbers for this game. And I'm just like, I'm sitting here laughing. Carson Soucy, shot share attempt percentage, 33.6. Minus 0.59 on ice net expected goals. Anyone want to take any guesses on Braden Schenn?
No, not really.
25.2 shot share attempt percentage, minus 0.98 on ice net expected goals.
Jeez. It's just... I mean,
this is almost like, hold on, let me find Andre Palat. Let's see where he's Palat at. Palat
can't be good.
I mean, it's better than them. It's 38% minus 0.26.
Who was Palat playing with tonight?
Who can remember? But like, for a very long time before he became washed, how often, Rocco, did you see like a trade go down in the NFL and it was just like, why does anyone pick up the phone for Bill Belichick?
Right. I feel like there's that team in every sport where it's right. Like, why, like a lot of people say it in baseball with the Rays, like you don't trade with the Rays because the Rays are so good at scouting and
right.
There's all those things. So you're pointing to that. You're giddy. I think David Tom said it. You're giddy when Matthew Darsh is calling. Yes.
You probably cannot wait to answer the phone. When you see that 516 come up.
He might even still be like the Montreal area code. He might have never changed.
Stupid router.
Well, the router went again.
We lost Jack, and now Jack is frozen.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
I'm back.
He's back?
Okay, good. All right, what's next?
Not a true run.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is a great one. Dude, Prime Bob.
Yeah.
Dude, there was one. What was the trade? I feel like it involved a running back.
For the Texans?
Yeah.
I don't remember off the top of my head. Palat was with Richie and Pageau. Analytically, our second best line tonight. Not saying much.
No.
But I mean, pretty good line mates for Palat. I wanted to ask you guys too, when you watch, like, I was the first one to say when he was signed, like, Eklund's not getting games this year, whatever else. He keeps looking good in the AHL and this forward group keeps struggling. Do you consider it?
No.
You don't consider it at all?
No.
I would. Why not?
No shot.
You don't burn ready. What?
He's not ready.
I mean, some of these other guys are more ready than him.
I think you might be surprised.
He's played. I don't know. I think he's closer. I do really think he could challenge next year. I'm not saying he should.
That was it. That was it. That was the trade.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I don't think he's ready. But whatever. Okay. Hold on. Someone agrees with me, so we have to put this on the screen. Zero tradable assets is off season. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. I like they have one top 100 pick and hardly
that's
any
my problem. That's
zero like, recourse to getting more.
Again, I know. Yes, we keep dwelling on it, but again, it's the philosophy of the GM. Like how you have Matthew Schaefer and Cal Ritchie, and then you just sacrifice picks like that so easily. It's just I just feel like he got worked the deadline. The more
badly
the further we get removed from the deadline, the more I hate the deadline.
Yeah.
Should we get to some questions?
Let's do it before your router craps out again.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. All right. All right. We are at the top now. First question was from Walski. How has Carson Soucy ruined y'all lives?
You know, you already know.
Yeah.
We're speechless.
I'm ripping my hair out.
We're speechless. March, can we call up Eklund?
No.
Yes. I don't think they will, but I think it's closing in on the point where you have to at least consider it.
I think that you let him play in the minors for the rest of this year.
I agree. But I'm just saying, like, if this forward group keeps going, like, say Holmstrom's out a little bit longer, and then it's the option becomes like Duclair, who hasn't been playing well, or Eklund, I think you could consider it.
It's a major, major problem for this team with Holmstrom injured. That's one that they really can't afford right now.
Not at all.
Josh Elkin, you think that Matthew Darche has some regrets about his deadline plan?
Funny from Josh Elkin, who I see at the arena yesterday, wearing a Braden Schenn jersey. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, but you know who he got that from?
He had a Holmstrom and changed the nameplate.
Yeah, but didn't he get that jersey from Gillette?
I don't know. I don't know if he
I got think it. He might have.
He might have got it from Tony G. But the bottom line is, I saw him and I paused because I saw the Braden Schenn. I'm like, no way, he has a Braden Schenn jersey. Sure enough, our guy has a Braden Schenn jersey. And yes, I do think Darche is slowly going to regret those deals.
I think people in Darche's position are very, very stubborn, and I really highly doubt until this team officially – they haven't failed yet, but if they do fail, that's when he'll look in the mirror. But right now, he's more thinking about how they lost tonight, and he's thinking about plays here and there that they have not finished on. He's thinking about that Ottawa game tonight in the last 5 minutes. Like, I think that he's not regretting it yet. I still think that he could somehow feel like he made good calls, but he probably puts it more on the players at the moment as we get further and further. And if they don't make the playoffs, then I feel like he'll be regretting it, but just not just yet. Stephen B9, do you guys still have hope? I'll let you two go first.
Yeah, I think they could still make the playoffs because they are pretty fortunate the teams around them are killing it.
At Ethan?
No.
You do, no. Though.
What about you, Jack?
Of course Jack does.
Of course I do. I mean, here's the thing. I've tried changing it a million times, but you know what? This team is a Calder winner, something we've never seen before in terms of what he's doing. We've seen Calder trophies before, and we have
two Calder Vezina. Winners.
Yeah, we have two. Oh, yeah, with Richie? What? I'm confused.
In team history, he means.
In team history. Yeah, okay. I was like, what? So Schaefer, Sorokin, those two guys are having award-winning seasons in the NHL. So if they could just maintain their pace, this team will find a way. Just too great of individual efforts from them, I think, will be enough to get them into the playoffs. So given what's around them, I do think that they're better than Columbus. I think that they're better than Detroit. I think that they're better than Philly. And I think, honestly, it feels weird to say it because the Capitals, I wouldn't want to play them in a playoff series, but we're ahead of them. So there's not that much time left here. There's, what, 7 games to go? And they have more control in their own path. Like, they play the Flyers on Friday. If they just win that game, puts the Flyers in a tough spot to climb back into the race. Like, not going to say they're eliminated, but kind of close to it. I just feel like we're too late in the season to not have hope for where they are. Thomas Boyle, who is replacing Patrick Waugh?
Too soon for that conversation, I think.
I don't think anyone.
Too soon. Yeah. No,
he's getting fired, no matter what. I know some people, if they miss, are going to call for it. I don't think he's getting fired.
Yeah. Alfredo 9 follow up pretty much. Why can't we hire Cassidy from why can't we hire Cassidy tomorrow?
Cassidy's
a bitch, man.
Cassidy's a coach, but Cassidy, I don't think he has a short shelf life, I feel like. He's one of those guys like the
Dude, that's like half the coaches in the NHL.
No, I know, but some more than others. Like, some have that reputation when you hire them, you literally, like, everyone the Rangers hire, really, other than Sullivan, who might actually not make it too long either. But like the Tortorellas, the who was before Laviolette? Laviolette's the same way. Who did they
Fat
have?
Peter.
Who was it?
Fat Peter.
No, Gallant. Yeah. Gallant, I think Data Dom just said Gallant's the same way. There's like 6-7 guys that are like a 2-3 year max. And I know you could say that about a lot of NHL coaches, but it just goes sour fast.
Go get me Bruce Boudreau.
Is he – what's his deal right now?
I think he's doing TV in Canada.
He's joking. He's joking.
No, I know, but I'm just – I just thought of him, and I'm like –
he's doing TV for a few years.
Wait, one more thing. The next question is from James. Can we steal Tocchet from Philly? No, we do not need to do that, and I do not want that. Look at how he's using their young players. Like, I don't need to see Kyle Ritchie getting third lined for the next 4 years the way he's doing to Michkov. And they do not. Yeah.
If things go sour with Wah, I don't think it's that far-fetched to maybe think Rocky Thompson could be the next coach.
Yeah. I've actually said that from the start. I've always felt like he's going to be the next coach after Patrick Wah.
Like, if some of these kids develop, like if Eklund works out, hopefully Yzerman, some of these other top prospects that come through Rocky start to develop and it's not going well with Wah, I could see that.
No, thanks.
Well, I'm just saying I could see it being the guy.
Steve 1473, what would you put our playoff odds at right now? Probably
chat GPT.
50-50. I don't need that.
I'll go through the analytical websites right now real quick.
What would you put it at? It's not asking us to look up websites. What would you personally put it at?
I think there's a 65% chance they make it.
I say 50. Ethan's going to be like 25.
37.
How did we get there?
Because he has to be different. Let him be.
Dom, could
Pierre... Yeah, you're right. I'm just different to be different.
Yeah.
Dom, could Pierre Springvall...
Wow. Hold on. What did I say? What percentage did I say? 37. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
But I'm just different.
Dom asked, could Pierre Springvall
from Isle subreddit, so it's fine.
Yeah. Isle's Reddit is just
I haven't gone through it really, to be honest.
I do not subscribe.
I gotta check that out.
Next question was from Dom. Could Pierre Springvall have carried these losers to the playoffs healthy?
Honestly, yeah.
No,
dude, he's better. You were just talking about McLean. He's better than McLean.
He's better than everyone on the fourth line. He's better than
I take Gackholm over him. Gackholm has some jam at least.
Well, let's get to the next question. From the Bry Man, can I trigger Jack again by having him talk about Shen? Shen's actually been productive in terms of offense, so he's not bothering me really, but I will say everyone that wants to celebrate the goals, he also will turn around and be on the ice for a goal against. And it literally happened last night. Happens a lot. And
he's atrocious defensively. His analytics are atrocious. And the Blues have the best record in the NHL since they traded him.
And the amount of times where we're talking about Shen on goals that he is literally like the.
He had a nice pass tonight, though.
Yeah, he did. He did. That honestly, I think that was his best play with the team so far.
Yeah.
But the other day, he scores a breakaway against a backup goaltender, and everyone is like, wow, what a finish by Shen. And they're interviewing at the intermission report. Like, what about like the 20-year-old that just did a behind-the-back pass to feed him? Like, that's kind of a lot more cool to me. But in all seriousness, from the Bry Man, put in George and any warm body from Bridgeport for Susie and Palat. Waste of space. Yeah.
There's literally no way George and Warren are worse. There's no way.
Something that cracks me up, though, is like this team ranks like what? With 28th expected goals share in the NHL. We see it with our own eyes, too. Not about the analytics. It's just like you look and you watch the product, and then you're told, we can't put in George, guys. It's too risky. We don't know what's going to happen. What are you risking? That's my thing. Susie literally cost them the game tonight. It's just insane to me that they act like they're like they.
It's the boys club of the NHL. They love the veterans. They don't want to. You really got to, you know, earn it with these NHL coaches. They're not going to just. They're just not going to. I'm not saying right or wrong. They're just not going to play George.
I know. It's insane because we can't risk it. Like, what are we even risking? Hey, Lupo, when will the pain and suffering end? It's not that bad, man. Like, if the other teams had a great scoreboard night, I understand being so down. But honestly, they got really lucky. If you told me that they lost these two games in regulation last week, but they'd still be sitting where they sit, third place in the Metro, I'd be shocked. So we can't lose sight of that. The Bry Man also, how the hell is no one looking for a trailer on that Buffalo goal? Abysmal awareness by Horvat and Schaefer there. Yeah, but they kind of expect the veteran defenseman to grab the puck down like a normal human being and get it out of the zone, because that's kind of what he was brought there to do. So when we start roasting Schaefer and Horvat for being out of position, fine. Then they won't play, and you'll have to watch the team without those two players. We hate
Bry Man.
Yeah, we hate Barzal too, right? When he turns it over, team picked first overall in his absence last year. So when we start getting on those guys, that's where I have a problem, man. Like,
that is quite a reach, but yeah.
It's
you're
true.
You're not
they won
wrong.
The lottery and got first overall.
We picked first overall the one season that this guy wasn't there.
Yeah, but we were 10.
You want to complain about Barzal? Just go watch the 2025 Islanders.
Oh, man. Jack, you killed me. All right, next question.
You must have enjoyed that brand of hockey. Hey, Lupo, serious question. Why do we even want this team to make the playoffs? They aren't even enjoyable to watch, and it's just sad. This is where the emotions are kicking in, and I feel you, Lupo. That was a brutal loss, but we're watching a generational defenseman go to work every single night. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, and again, like, I know people get on the draft pick stuff and whatever else, but it's getting to the point where it's either draft pick 15 or 18, so we might as well make the playoffs and give ourselves a shot here, give guys like Schaefer.
I mean, yeah, but, like, 18th is basically a second-round pick, so.
True. 15 is barely a first, so.
Yeah.
Ethan K. with a trolling question. What are your thoughts on the rumored 3x3 dart as in the drawer for Susie? I'm going to sneak in there and rip it up.
Imagine the reaction, the episode following that deal, if it was real.
Final question of the night, actually, from Hog Got Him. Why do we continue to just not show up in the biggest games of the season? For all of the quote-unquote leadership that we traded for, shouldn't this team not have such a tough time showing up for these playoff-like games down the stretch? I was told having these guys in the room is big for a team who is looking to win big games. This is a great point, because last night, the end of the first period against Chicago, where they give up three goals, they gave up an unanswered touchdown last night. Who's settling these guys down? And then I'm watching tonight, and I'm watching Anders Lee throw a big hit, get into a fight, and score a goal. That's leadership. We already had that. So please, respectfully, nobody ever go into my comments and say that Richie is playing better because of Shen. I cannot deal with that. I can have many discussions about this team, but that's one that I simply cannot have, because it is just utter, it is disgraceful, that comment. It's nauseating, and I don't know where it came from, but Richie is learning from Barzal and from Horvat based on the plays he's making out there. Just wanted to say that.
I mean, Richie's had a good season overall when you watch the games. The point totals haven't totally been there all year, but it's not like it's night and day since they made that acquisition. I think that was just kind of people pumping Darsh's tires a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, that does it for the questions, unless I missed one, but no, that does it.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around Io's house.